used to have the side of my head, and that's 10 out of 10 the best way to have your hair.
I can't go back to normal.
No.
Like, I've thought about it and I was just like, no. Side
I
shave is
agree.
the best. I
I
can't.
agree. I have an undercut, not a good one right now because it's all grown in. I have a haircut next week, but like half of my hair is all underneath gone because what's the point? There's no point to have hair on your head. It's
Exactly.
hot.
It's just nice when it's like side shaved and
Yeah.
it's great. I'm never
You
going
like
back.
automatically look like a badass. So like
Exactly.
no one's gonna fight with you.
They
All
shouldn't,
right.
because I'm also a big baby. Like, I look
Yeah.
cool, but don't fight me. I'll cry.
Oh my gosh. So, side note, I got hit in my classroom on Friday, last Friday.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's fine. I try to break up two fifth graders fighting, and fifth graders at my school are my height. Like, they are me. And so I got in between them, and they both came down on me because they were full of testosterone. And best way to get them to stop fighting with each other is boohoo bawling, is full on sobs in between two basically grown men, 10-year-old men.
And you're old man.
Yeah, and just crying. Just I full cried. So I feel the fighting and crying deeper than you think I should.
Oh yeah,
We
for
are
sure.
recording, Adrian, so
I was waiting
enjoy
for before I
recording.
asked.
Enjoy editing, Adrian.
Alex's trauma. Gotcha.
That's what this podcast is.
Yeah, it's a nice bits and pieces of our actual life. Does it say recording for you as well,
Yes, it does.
Liza? Okay, awesome.
Yep.
All right, then we shall get started. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Dungeons and Degrees. My name's Adrian.
And I'm Alex.
And today we have a special guest. Special guest, introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Gliza. I go by they them. And I am the guest. Hi.
Hello, wonderful guest. We exchanged cards, and by cards, I just had a sticker and I gave out at Gen Con, and I wanted to talk about all the streams that they're on, and like, how does that come to be? How do you connect with other people, and how do you keep everything in line for content creation or joining people's streams? That's the main conversation point. I've slowly been starting to get into other people's streams. Friend of the podcast, Mason, has a new like third party D&D book that he made, and he's been testing out his classes, showcasing them. And I've been able to join and try them out on stream with other creators. So through the podcast, I've been connecting. How has your strat been to connect with other people?
Sheer force of will is what I'm going to use to describe how I connect to people, because that's basically what I've been doing. Like, a lot, like, it's really funny because one of the things that I've seen I've, for whatever reason, have successfully done is that I would call certain brands cowards and then they would respond to me and reach out to me. And that's how I got two of my sponsors for my stream stuff. I just went, come on, help me out, you cowards. And so that's basically, in a nicer way, just basically shoot your shot. The worst that they can say is no. So I've been just reaching out to people, seeing if there's like call sheets or whatever, if I wanted to join their stream, that kind of thing. That's how pretty much I've been connecting to people. It's not for everyone, and it's not even for me. I don't know why I keep doing it, but there we go. That's what happens. I end up getting on stream because people think I am not an introvert. People think I'm an extrovert, and I guess it works sometimes.
Listen, you can be outgoing and introverted,
I
and
agree.
that's it. You can, 'cause I think those terms get mixed up a lot, that an introvert gets their energy from solace and being by themselves, and whether or not that includes just crying in the corner because you've been outside for too long, that's where you get your energy. Extroverts get their energy from other people, which is fine and great. Please leave me alone, though.
I am exactly that. Like, I have a lot of energy. I do. I have to, like, schedule my crying moments because I need to have my certain breakdown moments. I'm like, all right, I can't meet today. I'm breaking down at like exactly 4 p.m. So we can reschedule or else there's nothing that's going to happen for the next 3 weeks. So
there's no shame in putting your cry schedule. Listen, work around
I'm a busy person.
Right.
I can't just cry whenever. There's certain times that you have to put that on the schedule, on the calendar.
Listen, and that's good. Because if you don't need to cry, then you have that downtime, right? It's in your schedule. Exactly. You honor it. Maybe you don't cry.
There is one way for me to always make myself cry and like when I need to.
That was my next question.
Like I cry really like easily. Like that's my thing. Like, but also I think a good cry really helps.
Yeah.
So during these times, I would listen to a song or a movie, watch a movie that would just trigger my crying thing. For the past few months, it's been Surface Pressure, the song of Encanto. And I'm just like, every time I feel like I'm strong enough to like, I can do this. I'm the eldest. I'm also Filipino. Mm-hmm. Like all of these things. Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, there it is. Childhood trauma. Great. And I bawl and cry and it's great. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, well, that's my scheduled cry time. We're done now.
Oh, man. I'm constantly holding the donkeys. That's my life. I'm constantly holding donkeys. Okay. Everything's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
It's good. It's fine. It's pressure. It's just a little bit.
You know, it's the line talking about, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't want to pull it up. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. That like other people would not be able to handle whatever I'm handling. Like, mm-hmm. Why do you have to come at me like that? Why?
For me, it was the, and I'm also not going to pull it up. I'm just paraphrasing. It's the, do I stop being important? Or like, if I can't do this, do I stop being important? And I'm like, oh, well, thank you.
What if I'm not useful? What is all this creativity for? Me? Oh my God. Adrian, have you seen Encanto?
Yes, I've seen Encanto.
I have not seen Encanto. I have not seen it. That's because I kept challenging Here's the thing. I watched Surface Pressure first. And I was like, I kept challenging myself that until I can watch the song without full on crying, then I'll watch Encanto. As you can see, Encanto's been out for a long time and I have yet to watch it. So I have not overcome it yet.
It's gonna take. I bawled the entire time. I knew it was coming, and I still bawled the entire time. So, yeah. Good luck on your journey.
Thank you.
It's very cute.
Mm-hmm. Alex, do you have that kind of movie, or is it also just Encanto?
So I do. No. I do have songs. If I listen to and The Way You Look Tonight, there's something about just the sweeping melody of The Way You Look Tonight. And then just like, I don't know if I jump into like a future version of myself that I'm like looking back on my memories with my like the love of my life. And it just like that song replay. I will cry. Okay. So there's one. But yeah, man, Encanto, it's so good. And you're like, ah, but it doesn't, because all three sisters have some level.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And especially being queer, non-binary of any sort, because that's always a struggle of coming out as a person. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, I'm assuming, hopefully it was okay for you to come out with your family. Maybe not, but I remember not coming out.
I am thankful that my parents are old and they don't use the internet.
Well, so. Then that's, yeah, girl, I feel that.
Will I ever come out? Probably not.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
They don't need it. Yeah. Personally.
So. Do you feel like you need it with them?
Not really at the moment. Maybe eventually. Sometimes I do, but other times I'm married, so it's not like, you know, it will just cause them pain. And okay. For me, I'm just like, so I don't know. Who knows? Maybe my the brain... trauma is like, no. So I don't know.
Let me tell you then, you probably want to get through surface pressure before you adjust to any of the other sisters, because it doesn't
get any better. It's not any better.
No. I came out in college and they were like, yeah, sure. It's fine. My brother and sister were like, yeah, we know. Like, shut the fuck up. We know. Like, why are you? Yeah, we know. So it was that was fun. Of going through all of those thoughts that they were going to hate me or anything. And then being met with, okay, and. But, you know, everybody's journey is hard.
It's definitely because my parents are Asians from, like, the Philippines, from a very Catholic family, where I'm like, I love you, but there's a lot of trauma there that is not going to get resolved for a very long time. So unless you're okay with going through therapy, we're not going to do this right now. Oh, I'm okay. We don't have to. And it also doesn't help. Well, like, so I became the eldest at a young age. So basically what had happened was I had an older brother and then me and then my youngest brother. And then I became the eldest because my older brother passed away due to the AIDS pandemic or whatever. So my parents, as much as they love my brother, basically think it's evil. So, and it's hard. They love my brother so much. They do. Like, even, like, they were like, I miss him so much, blah, blah, blah. They would never kick me out or anything like that. But in their minds, that's what took him away. So in my head, so for me, it's just not, like, I just don't want to dig through the whole thing, especially when I don't need it kind of situation, you know? Like, it just feels like they're old. They're fine. They don't need to know all these things. It's okay. So I do wish that they knew, though. It would be interesting, but it's not one of those things where I'm like, I have to tell them or I would, you know. It could be trauma.
Having... that's a lot. That's a lot to unpack, right? My family, my dad's side of the family, is pretty strong in their Catholicism as well. My grandmother likes to go down to women's clinics and protest, despite the fact that she herself has had 5 girls. And I think, not to put my family on blast, but I think majority of them, or at least half of them, have had an abortion. So the very thing that she's protesting.
Does she know?
Yes, she knows.
Okay.
Yes. There have been fights over Scrabble about this because she talks about her women's club and going down. You're like, you were a nurse. But anyways... But no, it's just, the more I learned about religion and especially Catholicism, I had a lot more questions that were being answered than answers that were being given. And then ultimately, like, how much of those beliefs really needed to be held on in the way that Catholicism is, with the years of trauma associated with, like, just, I was just in Catholics, like, trying to spread the word of whatever Lord they're trying to promote today. And then the amount of pain that it brings to people, and then, you know, the inherent white supremacy that also accommodates all of that. And nobody wants to talk about it. It's fight. No, but Adrian, going back to the movie that makes me cry, Big Fish will make me cry in two parts for two different reasons. One, when Ewan McGregor pulls out the, like, field of daffodils, I will cry because it's so sweet. And then two, when he's telling the story of how his father dies. Got me before I lost my dad. I have not revisited the movie since I have lost my dad, and I'm sure I will be fine watching it, because I definitely didn't cry super hard in Raya when her dad turns to stone. It was definitely fine.
Yeah, that sounds like something that's fine. 100%.
100%.
It's fine.
Alex, never crier. Selena Nair McKinney. That's the official title.
That's me. Never crying. No tears here.
Not a drop of tear.
Nope. So, yeah.
Oh, I had to think about
editing, Adrian.
No, I've been on this editing grind. It is a lot. Ever since taking up on your podcast, Alex.
Yeah.
Five tracks is so much more than three tracks. I will tell you that.
Five tracks is a lot of tracks. There's
I didn't
lot
realize
of people...
what I was getting myself into until it was too late.
And it's hard mode. Like, yeah. Did you follow up with your other editing offer?
No, because I haven't listened to that thing, but I will. But I will.
Adrian.
What? It's
profesh.
Fine.
It's profesh work.
It's all profesh work.
One step away.
I'm doing the damn thing. I'm getting paid for this now. It's not much, but it's something. It's honest work.
You're right. It's professional because you're getting paid. So congratulations already.
Yeah, what was... Oh, the only... I can't think of a movie that I go to.
Do you have a song that makes you cry, though?
Oh. Yes, it's by the... It's not the one... Okay. There's a song by the Wonder Years called Hey Thanks. It's like... They're kind of rockish, but this song is like their ukulele, very nice and beautiful, kind of at the beginning. And it's just very, like, talking about friendship and things like that. And I'm like, you know, it took me a while to get there to be thankful instead of they're just pitying me kind of cycle of myself. So I really enjoy that song. And there's another one by them that reminds me of, like, one of the first concerts I went with my brother. Which just came out swinging. So that one's really good. So those songs. And Modern Baseball's Two Good Things. That one's my whole sibling's songs, because we all went to that concert together. So yeah. Good, healthy songs. I cry at anime all the time. When someone's trying to be self-sacrificing, that's where I cry. It's like, no, I got this. That's and then fair. They smile and die. And I'm like,
perfect.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But yes, yeah, schedule your cry sessions. That's really great for content creation. It gives you the energy that you need to continue to torture yourself for a lot of things.
Adrian likes to donate shaving parts of his body.
Oh my gosh.
It's
just the hair. People? Just don't say parts of the body.
Money? Yes, but hair, one would say, is just on top of your head, right? It would just be shaving your head. When we mean your body, I include, I'm sure if we could get enough money to get you to wax.
What is going on?
Your body.
I'm a little curious, just because what's going on now?
I don't know. Alex brought up me doing all these charity events where I shave my face and then shave my head. And then Alex's like, well, the obvious next step is Adrian just waxes everything.
Wax your body.
I mean, as somebody who enjoys is a word, it's not bad. Like, yeah, in the moment, it's super painful and you wish you were dead. But afterwards, yeah, it feels really smooth and nice.
I agree.
It's quite good.
I think I tried to shave like my whole body because I was going to a swim meet one time and I got through my first leg and I'm like, this is a lot of work and this razor is really dull and I don't have time to get another one. So I only had one leg shaven for that meet.
Oh, man.
It's the maintenance. It's the maintenance if you let it fully grow.
If you're gonna go and do whole body, I would just suggest you do waxing because it doesn't, when it grows back, it doesn't itch.
Yeah, no, that's a big problem.
If you shave, it'll itch like the worst thing, and I hate it. So, hey guys, wax is better.
Hey, so also, yep, schedule your waxing sessions as well as your crying sessions.
Yeah, don't let it grow too far because mm-hmm. you will be in pain when you go back and do it again.
Yep.
Yes. You want to four to like 6 weeks is the prime time. Anything after 6 weeks, your hair follicle. Oof. The hair follicle is too big.
You're going to be in pain. And all, like, I'm sorry that we're getting into waxing now.
This is part of the podcast.
I've told my waxing lady that if I were ever to miss, like, six, you know, like, just go and do it, I am never coming back. I'm just going to be like, oh, well, I guess waxing is not happening because I do not want to go through that first time all over again. I remember it. I still have nightmares mm-hmm. about it. So my I'm not doing that anymore. Anyway,
I used to push it to 5 weeks, right? I could manage the pain at 5 weeks, but then there were too many times that I had to like reschedule, and so that eventually gets pushed back to 6 or 7 weeks, and then it's not even worth it. I might as well just pay the extra, do it every 4 weeks, so if something changes, 5 weeks is doable. 6 weeks is doable. But once you start getting to 7 and 8,
do it anymore. Just quit waxing, basically. That is the lesson that I want all of you to understand. If you miss 6 weeks, just quit it. You don't need it. Obviously, it's not important.
You can't maintain.
It's not important enough for you. And that's fine. You'll be in pain. Do you want to be in pain? That's how you get pain.
I used to get sugared. Ooh. So here's the, okay. I liked getting sugared. However,
hi, hello. What does that mean?
It's a form of waxing.
So you different version. Yeah, you different ways of waxing. So like what you're probably thinking, Adrian, is like the wax and the strip, right?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So like that's soft wax.
Okay.
And then there's a different type of wax. It's a hard wax, and that's just the like beads. That's just the wax beads themselves. Mm-hmm. Like they harden so much that you can just get it pulled off. And then there's sugaring, which is made up of sugar, and it just like is a easier way of doing it because it takes softer strokes. But the way that they wax is different. And the problem was that this is the time that I was figuring out how long I should go before waxes. And this was I would go every 6 weeks, mm-hmm. but I would sweat. I would get so hot so quickly because I was nervous about it hurting. And like, it was not a cold room. And so once I start sweating, it doesn't stop. So I would have to sit there on the table with my legs open to the world with like 3 fans, like just around my body because the wax would just not stick to your sweaty skin. So like I'm laying there with like fans on my parts, just hanging out. Sugaring worked really well for me, but not when I got hot. Which gotcha. Was every other time.
Every my memory goes only 2 sessions, and then I forget how painful it was.
That's how I am with tattoos. Come at me.
Gosh, I still need to get another one of those. It's been, fuck, how old am I? Oh my god, it's been 10 years.
So, here's how I go. Every time I get a tattoo, I'm very sensitive. Like, this is my most painful tattoo, and it's tiny. But because it's on my wrist, whatever. Whatever. And I cried. Every time I get a tattoo, I always say, this is it. I'm not doing this anymore. I can't. It's just too painful. I'm crying here, and I don't want to do this. And then, like, after 5-6 months, I'm like, maybe I should get another one. It didn't hurt that time, but I'm like, past me screaming, like, what do you mean it doesn't hurt? You always hate it. You hate everything about it. You just forget. That's how I am with tattoos. I'm actually thinking of getting another one on my thigh after I finished, like, the back tattoo that was, like, super... It was uncomfortable. It was not at all convenient. I had to sleep on my stomach, and, like, I couldn't lean on my chair for a very long time. It was super uncomfortable. I hated it. But I want another one. So that is... That's tattoos.
Listen, once it's done in that part, you don't have to worry about it again because it's already, you know, covered. So now you just have to think about the other parts of the body. Just get full sleeves, get one and done. That's it. Keep going. Next one.
Oh, man.
I have a session on Saturday to not finish. We're not using that word anytime soon because I have short, stubby legs. I am 5'5", right? There's not a lot of real estate. I can't imagine being any taller and getting my leg done. So currently I've got from my hip to my ankle outlined with a Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, nice.
Howl in his bird form. Beautiful man, right? All we have done on this fucking thing is Howl's face and the feathers around his face. And then the flowers, which are on all the spicy bits on my leg, my knee, wow, the back of my thigh, and then shin, and then the back of my calf, right? It's not that much real estate covered. It's not. We are 4 sessions in, and it's not a lot of space. I cannot imagine getting the rest of it. And back to back to back, I've been 2 weeks ago was my last appointment. I'm not even looking forward to Saturday, and then the next 2 weeks of having to like deal with healing, and then like, listen, just get them all back to back is what I'm saying. And then you'd be like, no, I really don't want to get tattooed again. I'm good. I'm like, I'm really solid right now. I don't need it.
That's what I think too. Every time I finish one, this is all I need. Yeah. Cause like, this one though, the one on my left arm is on my scars. And this is the first time I got a tattoo where I fell asleep because I couldn't feel anything. And it was really nice. So in my head, I'm like, I'm just going to get tattoos on all of my scars. That way I don't have to think about being in pain. So that's another thing that I'm thinking about. But yeah, tattoos, man.
I got one. I was 18. That's end of story. It's because I saw someone pretty who had tattoos. I'll be a tattoo too. Oh my god, dumb Adrian. I mean, it was worth it. I like the tattoo. I knew what I wanted, but God, just stupid. 18. 18 is a stupid age.
18 is a stupid age to be anything. I'm sorry, 18-year-olds that are listening. You will look back at it and you'll be like, 18 is a stupid age. No matter how mature or responsible you are, it's a stupid age. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Your brain is not done cooking. It's not yet.
Don't make big decisions. It feels like it is,
but it's not.
It's not. Don't. That's terrible. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is you're doing now, stop at 18.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
They're like, hey, you go to college or go to the military. They're vulnerable. They're going to freaking say yes to anything. They're 18.
Damn. No. You dating that high school sweetheart? Just wait. Just wait.
Don't do it. Don't get me. No, that's no. Don't do it.
I did that.
Oh,
Stupid.
Adrian. Wait, Adrian, hold on. Did you get divorced? Is that what we're talking about right now?
We're dating.
Okay.
Dating, okay.
I did not date in high school. I did date like much later in college. Still a bad mistake. I mean, still like the whole thing was like we were together for 7 years and I broke up with him because he wanted to get married. And I was like, I can't be with you forever, my man. I can't do it. And that's my dude. We were just friends, buddies, my friend.
Compadres.
Oh my God. I would hate my life at my 18-year-old boyfriend. I would, either one of them, the one I was right before I was 17 and the one I was dating after I was 18, I would absolutely have hated my life. I was a terrible person. They were terrible people. And we were not healthy in any way, shape, or form. And I don't imagine I would have gotten to that level with them. So
if you're 18 right now and you're listening again, stop. Just don't. Whatever it is,
go play Dungeons and Dragons with your friends. Just
play video games. That's okay. Don't date. Don't make any big decisions. Don't.
Hey, look, the Humble Bundle's pretty cheap. You can kill your time there. Hours, days, weeks.
You don't need to get married. You don't need to make big life, career changing decisions. That'll come when you're like 25. Even then, wait a little bit longer.
Agree. What were we talking about?
I don't know. Being 18 sucks is what I was talking about. Oh, no. You were talking about how you got a tattoo and you're 18. And then we were like,
"No, that's right.
18 is a dumb age."
Just regrets. Just full of regrets today. Gliza.
Yes. Let's talk about stuff.
All right. I wanted to kind of go back and talk about how making those connections, just asking and just being hardheaded and you know, calling people cowards. Do you feel like there's a point where it's like, oh, am I being too annoying? Or you're just like, I'm going to do it and whatever happens, happens kind of thing. What is your mentality going into this?
It depends. Honestly, it depends on, this is going to sound so ridiculous. It depends on my mood. Sometimes when I'm feeling very vulnerable, I don't. Like, I just like, I stay in my little corner or whatever. But when I am feeling confident, it's usually after like a really good game or like a really good situation has happened. And I'm like, you know what? I can actually do a lot of the things that you want or you need. So reach out to me. That's how I got like a lot on different streams and like different like writing projects that I got into. In the end, you also want to treat the people that you're reaching out to as people. Not just like a goal in mind. So you want to become friends with them. You want to, if you, you know, it's important that, like I said, it's important to treat them like people because we're all just people. We're all just trying to move forward with our lives and our content. You know, we're all, especially in the scene where like, especially in tabletop role play, like there's just like, there's so many of us and we're all trying to do our thing. There's not like, there's never going to be a time where like, all right, that's too much tabletop role playing games. Now we're done. We're at the limit. We can't do anymore. There's never going to be that stage. So shoot your shot and treat people like people.
What about corporations? When you call them cowards, how do you treat those guys?
Oh, it depends. Cause I haven't really gotten through to a corporation. I know I'm wearing a D&D jersey right now, but I don't really play a lot of D&D because, you know, because of that. And maybe corporations are funny because I don't really reach out to them. I reach more to the people that are there, that are my friends. And a lot of indie is usually who I work with. So
gotcha. For
corporations, that doesn't mean you can't reach out to me. You can. And, you know, if you're not a coward, I'm right here.
Hell yeah.
Reach out.
Okay. If you don't play, what is your main TTRPG that you like to play?
The main thing that I like to play is Power
your
by
mom.
The Apocalypse Kid.
Shut up. Oh my God.
Your mom.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Powered by the Apocalypse, I gotcha.
Powered by Apocalypse games, specifically Monster Care Squad. That is my favorite game to run people through. That is the first game that I came back to people through, Monster Care Squad. I just really like the balance that I can make with how the monsters themselves are terrifying. But you want to take care of them. You want to save them. So it's like a mixture of both horror and wholesome. And it's just perfect. Because you can see the fear in your player's eyes, but they also fall in love with the monsters that you create. So as a proud monster enthusiast is the word that I'm going to use, because the other word is impolite. As a monster enthusiast, that just hits all of my spots and all of my needs, basically. Monster Care Squad is my main mojo.
I actually never played that one. I have played some of the Powered by the Apocalypse system, and starting to get into Monster of the Week at this point. I'm trying to read up on some of that, but I have played a bit of Monster Hearts. So.
Well, Monster Care Squad is more of like a PBTA hack. So basically, like, it still does the same thing that, like, with the two sixes and all that, but it does, you create your own playbook, basically. So there are moves that you can take and you create your own playbook. But it's such a good system, because it comes up with different, because personally for me, like, I do enjoy D&D and the combat situation and all that, but I like how with Monster Care Squad, you have to come up with different ways of like resolving the situation, because you can't just fight the monster. You have to like take care of them and you have to heal them. So it's just a great system. Sandy Pug Games, Liam definitely did really well with that. And I can't wait to see more of it come out, you know?
Got to put that on my list of games, Alex. For systems that you haven't played, what is one that you are about, you want to get into and want to try playing?
Currently, Pathfinder. A friend of mine is running a game. It's going to be an all dragons campaign. Basically, all of the players are going to be different dragons. And that I, on Twitter, I am known as a very specifically dragon enthusiast as well. So
I'm nodding. You can't see my face right now.
I'm known for a lot of dragons is definitely one of them. And so when my friend told me that Pathfinder is coming out, well, not Pathfinder, like a third party is coming out with like playable dragon characters. And I was just like, oh, hell yeah. So Pathfinder is what we're working on. I haven't played it yet. I heard it's close to, you know, D&D a little bit, but it has a lot of stuff. So Pathfinder is something I'm interested in. I'm also interested in learning more about Tidebreaker. I heard that it does really well for a lot of like cinematic things that, you know, you want, like a lot of anime related, like, if you want to have like that same anime feel, Tidebreaker is a good option. And that's what I've heard. I haven't played it.
Is there any like indie creator that you want to work with or have worked with that you highly kind of want their work to be seen?
Currently, there are two groups. Well, one is a person and the other is a group. The first one is Brandy Rose on Twitter. They're known as the Brandy Rose on Twitter. They came into the scene like right after me. And they are a powerhouse. They created games. They're on streams. They're being asked like to be on like really well-known streams. And I just want more people to see what they can do, because they're just so awesome. So if anybody is interested like in ever like seeing their work, they're on itch.io. But the current thing that I'm working on with their system, it's an iSpy system basically. And I'm going to be basically running a game that is inspired by Totally Spies. And I'm very much excited to see how that would go, because it's going to be like Totally Spies-esque, but they're in college and each episode has its own like villain guest. So I'm going to be using the Brandy Rose's iSpy for that system, and I can't wait to like do the casting call for that and get the villains out. Ooh, it's gonna be so cool. But that is one person that I want everybody to know. Another person that I think, well, another group that I think people should be more aware of is Neon Lights Roleplay. Neon Lights Roleplay is a channel that I have been participating in with a lot of their shows. But what I really like about them is that they work really hard in making sure that persons of color, you know, a lot of people that are marginalized, their voices are heard. So that's what I really like about that channel. And they work really hard in getting a lot of different shows out. I'm actually on one of their shows on the 16th. I don't know if this is going to be out by then, but on the 16th, I'm going to be on their show finale for Armor Aster, which is a four episode show where like we just started, like since we knew it was only going to be four episodes, we started in just being dramatic from the beginning. I'm playing a character whose wife died and that's why they're fighting. But then we find out, as spoilers, the wife is actually alive. It's okay. You find out in the very beginning of the first episode, so it's okay. But like all of these things, like that, basically, if you find, if you love tabletop role play, if you are interested in ever, you know, participating, watching or whatever, Neon Lights Role Play is it's a good community to be in. So that one and Branding Rose. So those are the two groups of people that you really all should keep an eye out for.
Awesome. What about your work currently? As a writer, how do you get gigs? Do you find things on Twitter? Is there a certain site? Or do you someone like find your work and you're like, hey, I want to work with you?
It's a whole lot of nepotism. That sounds terrible, but it is a whole lot of nepotism. Not through my parents, but like through my friends, because honestly, TTRPG isn't my full-time job. I have a full-time job. So that's how I do a lot of my, like, that's how I make my money with corporate America and capitalism or whatever. And then with TTRPG, it's basically me just learning to enjoy this creative thing that I'm trying to be a part of. And basically having friends that are in, that's actually how I got into it. Just a lot of friends that are into it and have seen that, you know, I have fun with tabletop and they ask me to join their streams. And I know this isn't helpful. I'm very sorry, but I have, like I said, it's mostly just putting yourself out there. It's a place of privilege, I understand, but sometimes putting yourself out there, you know, the worst that they can say is no. And you have, and sometimes it's not even no, it's not yet. And you get another reach out from them. That's basically how Gen Con came about for me. It wasn't a special gift. I worked hard to apply and you know, build a community. And it does take a while, but eventually people are going to see the hard work that you put in. So, yeah.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. I think, like, so right now I'm part of, like, this podcast and another podcast, and then I'm, like, guest spotting and these other things. But that's only because, like, I know the guys from the other podcast who know this person, who know that person. So, like, once you start, like, stepping into this kind of area of creation, you're going to start meeting people who will need something or want something, and you're like, hey, I can provide that for you. Because people you're going to trust are people that you know. And also the people you want to hang out with and create together are the people that you know as well.
Right.
So I fully understand this idea of, like, it's so nepotism.
My friend actually once told me something that changed my mind about it a little bit, because he said that for a long time, he always felt guilty when his mentor would try to get him into different sort of jobs, because he's a musician and he plays in a band, and it's one of those classic musicians, and I'm like, I'm always impressed by him. Anyway, his mentor was like trying to get him to all these things, and he always says, I'm really sorry, like I feel like I'm using, you know, whatever. And he's like, well, I just opened the door. You basically have to keep yourself inside. And I think that's what's important, because you can have all of the opportunities offered to you, but if you don't work hard and you don't have the talent, then you're not really going to get very far. I mean, you can get far, but you won't get very far. So it's up to us to stay inside. They may open the door, but we are also the ones walking through it.
Yeah. The only reason they're advising you is because they believe that you're exactly good enough.
This does not apply to billionaires and their kids.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. True, you guys.
I just want to make that clear. This does not apply to you. You sons of bitches.
Fuckers. Alex?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that it does play a factor in how hard you hustle yourself. And like what you were saying earlier, you do put yourself out there and you do have to have a couple of things established before you can just put yourself out there, right? You schedule in your crying time. So there's that self-care time that you know that you still need to take care of yourself. And you're also building that confidence to just do it. I saw a TikTok yesterday, that, not that it matters, it's irrelevant. Time is irrelevant. Anyways. That anything that you, any brick that you're laying for the future you is still a solid brick, right? It may not be a big brick, but it still needs to be put down. So even if you're just tiptoeing in the right direction or in the forward direction, whether that is reaching out to those people that you want to work with or retweeting or reposting or just commenting on a space that you have a voice in, that's still a step in the right direction. And then maybe on those days that you are feeling more confident, you go in and do the bigger thing, maybe sending a full email, maybe like just trying your best. But on the hard days, you know, are you still taking care of yourself? Are you, you know, brainstorming things that you could do in the future? Are you setting your future self up for success? Because you may not feel it now, but if you are, you know, stepping, you will eventually get there. I also have started writing to-do lists to future me, mm-hmm, that include like words of affirmation or things that I need to hear now to me and that maybe future me will like really appreciate. So I'm like, I'm writing notes to myself, which is like a weird self-care in my to-do list that I know I'm going to look at least one time. Like, hey, bitch, you can do this.
I believe in you.
Hey, call that person because you have to. Nobody's going to schedule the doctor's appointment except for you. You're right. Past Alex, you're right.
Oh, I need to make an appointment before my insurance goes away.
Adrian, make that appointment before your insurance goes away. Editing Adrian, call them.
You have the rest of the month. But you should probably do it before the end of the week. All right. Is there, when you start joining these Let's Plays and all that stuff for Twitch, is there anything you look for? Or is it usually like, I mean, you've played with them before and everything's all right?
It depends on the situation. So if I know them and I trust them completely, if the DM is the person that I trust completely, then normally I just join whoever's in there, unless there's somebody in the game that I'm like, I 100% know that I don't feel comfortable with. So I don't have a lot of those people. So when it's a DM that I trust, I especially believe that, you know, if my DM trusts that person or this team, then I'm on board. If it is brand new people that I've never really talked to, I usually basically try to look through their Twitter accounts just to like see if there's something that jumps out. And I also want to make sure that I'm not the only person of color on the table or the only marginalized identity on the table. I don't want to be a token, basically. And the more that I decide to do that, the less I get to play in those kinds of situations. And the kind of table that comes out from it is just really, really great, because I don't know. It just feels like, because if you feel like you're a diversity hire, it doesn't feel like your choices are important. That's basically how I feel whenever I join these kinds of games, where I feel like, oh, they're just ticking a box. Like, oh, it's It's Asian Appreciation Month. All right, there's our Asian. It's non-binary month. Oh, there we go. We got another one. It's Filipino month. It's just a lot. Like, so when I do play these games, when I do want, like, I just want to make sure that, yeah, I'm not the only marginalized member in the table, that they use safety tools. Safety tools is really, really, really important. And if I don't, like, I always ask, like, hey, what are our session zero and our safety tools? If I don't see that, I usually sort of like, hey, no, thanks. Have a good time, but you should also use safety tools, that kind of thing. Because I think safety tools is one of the important things that, and everybody uses them. Like, every single person uses safety tools. Even the people who are like, I never use safety tools, blah, blah. But you use safety tools. You talk to your friends when you're playing games. You talk about what your expectations are. All of you use safety tools. But if you have, like, if the person that I'm playing with has this, like they're vehemently against it, that tells me that that you're not a table that I want to participate in, that kind of thing.
What would y'all say is a good, I guess, threshold to start thinking about that as a new DM? Especially, you know, playing tabletop RPGs can already feel super overwhelming with rules, and, you know, you want to get it right and make sure that everyone at the table is having a good time. How would you approach it as a new DM and implementing safety tools?
So, personally, for me, I think there are some really good, simple safety tools that, and what I like about safety tools is that you don't actually, when the time comes, if you don't need it and you don't use it, that means that worked. You know what I mean? Like, personally, for me, I like the XNO system. I've edited it a little bit for my own self, but the XNO system is basically an X card. If you don't feel good, immediately stop the whole thing. An end card basically is, hey, it's coming. I'm starting to not feel comfortable. Let's slow it down or change the scene. And then the O is when people are checking in, like, hey, are you okay? So it can, I think a lot of people think that safety tools have a lot of things that you have to keep an eye on. A lot of, like, oh, you know, lines and veils are great. It's helpful for you to avoid these kind of things. But if you have to choose between just having an XNO or a lines and veils, I would just choose an XNO, because especially, like, it can be overwhelming to see all these things. Lines and veils are very important, though. It's really helpful. But I think as a new DM, if you don't want to be overwhelmed, just ask your players, like, hey, what are things that you don't want to be in this story? And provide them with the tools to be like, hey, this something that is in the story, it's new to me. I didn't know I didn't like it. Can we stop? And that's why the XNO, I think, is really important. Sure, it still has its flaws. It's sure, like, for example, personally for me, I've experienced X cards where I didn't pull it because I was too, like, you know, in the moment. But what it helped me was my friends checking, hey, are you okay with an O, basically. And I was able to tell them that, hey, I'm not really okay. Can we stop? So I think having those systems, having those safety tools, it does just really help you a lot. As a new DM, like, it's worth knowing all these things from the jump, from the get-go.
Along with everything else. You got this, new DMs.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
Stars and Wishes. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Stars and Wishes is basically a modified version of Roses and Thorns. Basically, stars is like you tell people what they did well. Wishes is what you want to happen. I really like doing that at the end of the game because it gives everybody like this something to look forward to, because you're like, oh, they like this part of my game. They like that part of my game. And then the wishes part is you expressing how you want more, like how you want the game to evolve more, that kind of thing. I think everybody should do Stars and Wishes at the end of every session that they have.
Oh, yeah. I think I only do that every like couple months or so.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What was your first character?
My first character that I've ever created and loved, cause and played. Her name is Grandma Fa, and basically, she's an old, sweet grandma rogue. Basically, it was for an all-villain campaign, and my Grandma Fa basically is a rogue assassin. But basically, like whenever people visited, she'd be like, "Oh, would you like some cookies and milk and whatever?" And then when they get hug, when they eat the cookies and milk and get sleepy, whatever, she would stab. She's a very bad grandma. But it's basically like this whole thing where I wanted to have like a villain in this all villain campaign where people normally don't see grandmas as villain. And she's spry for her age because she's rogue. By the end of that campaign, she became like the mafia leader, like mafia ma mastermind in Waterdeep, and it was the best thing ever. I absolutely love her. She's like this super sweet old grandma, like whatever, but she's like a spider on all of these little threads, and it's amazing. I can't I that's that basically was the best character I've ever created in my entire life. And every other character that I create is just running towards trying to become just a little bit as good as Grandma Fa, but never meeting the mark. I mean, I love all my other characters, none as much as I do my Grandma Fa. No, I peaked at the beginning of my life.
And there is the synopsis of Encanto.
Pretty much. Oh no, I can't watch it now. I have to like Oh
Do you create characters for each live stream? Do you just make it up on the spot, or is there some sort of recurring character?
I have this one character that basically, like, it depends on the games. I have this one character that I bring back if I'm like guesting on D&D games. I have that one character, basically the one that I've played for the longest time. She's a changeling rogue. So if ever I get to like do one shots and I'm too busy to create a character, I bring her back. For my favorite though, the one that I've been obsessed with in bringing back lately is I originally created her for a mask campaign. Her name is Irene Third Eye Delisai. Basically, Irene is the Scion playbook, or like sort of like I use her. I would also use her as a warlock in D&D. But basically, they have this dad, which I call Dad Thulu, and mom. And basically her parents met and they fell in love and whatever, and they had her, but her dad can't be in this world, in this plane, because the world will, get destroyed because he's Cthulhu, basically. So Irene's goal is two things. One, to keep them separate. Like you can't be with mom, you can't be with dad. I'm sorry, dad. It's just not happening. And two, to find a way to like nerf her dad so he's weaker, so that they can be a whole family together. And I think that's such a great background that I just love playing that because she doesn't hate her dad. She doesn't think her dad is a bad guy, but her dad can destroy the world just by being there. So that's the character that I'm currently obsessed in bringing everywhere with me.
I have a similar character like that. His name is Jimothy McTavish, and I just kind of remake him, different class, different race, just Jimothy McTavish,
The
because
name's the
I'm a
same.
GM. I don't have time to make up a new name every time.
I think it's also really fun to do that because then you can have like multiverses of this person that has experienced multiple things. And I think that's great.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about it, and now I absolutely love it.
10 out of 10.
Multiverse of worlds.
Adrian, how do you feel?
So I've tried my best to stitch just most of my audio back together with what I thought I said, but the rest is just nonsense, so it's hard for me to clip it. I will be kind of excluding all the parts that I'm talking in that I cannot recover. There's only a couple more minutes left of the pod. I hope you can endure it.
Same
Yes.
here. I had a good time. It's very different. It's very different from the plans, but it's
we were
okay.
close to the plans. We were close.
I like our wax tangent though. That was my
favorite
part. What
are you stitching while everybody else on listening cannot see? Because
So this is how I deal with my wandering ideas or whatever when my mind is wandering. It's you can't really see the white part in it, but it basically says I love you to the moon and back. This is part of my vows with my husband. So I have been hyper focusing on cross stitching lately. So I have done this. This was the one I finished before. It says enjoy the ride. So I have a lot.
Listen, I'm not pulling my bag out because I'm not going to admit any of that. I don't have any works in progress. I don't have a giant Zelda that I've been working on for 4 years, 7 years, set 8 years, 8 years. Okay. 8 years. That's a lot of fucking bricks. Okay. It's a lot of bricks. It's a lot of little stones. I'm not.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's okay. I have one other project that's also cross stitching and it's just a lot. I am going to show it to you because it's mocking me. Every time I try to start it up again, I'm like, I get distracted by a small project because this thing is fucking.
Small projects are like, they're satisfying.
look at it's this, but it's huge. And because of how it looks, it's very detailed.
Oh.
This is what it's going to be like.
I feel that. I have like,
it's hard. It's black on blue and I have to
you
be
have
like,
to have the right lighting.
So it's mocking me.
That's
it's mocking me. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to work on this.
I'm going to go show. Yeah, I'll show you. It's black. That's why it's the devil's.
Now open up.
It's not me having a bag of work in progress. Okay. So I have this beautiful David Bowie that I need to finish embroidering.
Oh, nice.
I started that when he died. Okay. Okay. It's fine. Okay. Less than 10 years, Adrian. Less than 10 years.
Still.
My apologies.
None of this is going to help anything. I have just, all I have on this one is to finish this fucking banner at the bottom. That's all I have left.
Yeah.
Here we
what
are.
Does it say?
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Oh my god, it's not even in this bag. Oh my god, it's not even in this bag.
The Zelda thing?
Zelda's not even, I don't even know where it is. I do have finished Bob Ross. So
nice.
There are finished ones in here. But yeah, I have one of the Thomas Kincaid Disney ones that I was very confident that I could work on, and it's a nightmare. It's all tiny little jump around dots, and maybe I should keep this out, Adrian, because I have another one for one of our friends in here too, and it's just gonna stay. Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. This is fine.
But yes, this is what I do. Like, I do this when I'm on stream. It just helps me focus, really, which is weird because I'm. Yeah.
I think if you cross stitch, you understand.
Yeah, because you just follow a pattern and it's just nice. And
it's
like,
pixels.
You're moving your hands.
Mm-hmm. So there you go, Adrian. Another tangent for you. Enjoy.
please,
sir,
so many
may
things
have some
you
more.
Can do.
More tangents, please. I must edit more.
All right. Glyza.
Yes.
Where can they find you?
You can find me everywhere on the internet by just looking for @classicalglyza. I'm very active on Twitter. I am on there a lot. That's a problem, but it's okay. You can find all of my announcements on there. But if you're just looking for my schedule, just go to bio.link/classicalglyza because I usually update my schedules then. And I'm on a lot of streams and I get really tired sometimes telling people like where they can find me because it's a lot. There at some point I have a game every day except for like a Saturday. So yeah, I'm always on the internet somewhere. So hi, that's where you can find me.
I need a modern Glaza though. It's the evil alternate universe.
I can't wait for a modern me. My friends have all been like, you know what? We're going to create an evil modern Glyza. And I'm like, do it. I want to see a villain version of me that you love. I want it. Because I'm entering my villain phase in some of the streams. I'm finally getting like characters where I am a villain and I'm living for it because I have never played a villain before. I'm always like the lovable, whatever, plucky himbo, whatever. I want to be a villain that causes fear. That is what I want. I want people to have nightmares about my character and also like weird, lustful
as
desires.
Any good villain.
That's what I want. As any good villain.
Love and hate.
That is what I want.
All right. We'll find Glyza there. Alex?
Thank you, dear listener, for joining us for another episode of Dungeons & Degrees, where we mostly talked about TTRPGs, but only sometimes whined about the universe. But 10 out of 10, you should definitely recommend us to all of your friends. Also, rate us 5 stars wherever pods are cast. Anything lower just means that you were forever going to roll like mediocrely on your, not bad and not great, but like
mediocre,
just right there where you can't do the thing, but you don't fail. So there's no like satisfying release and you don't want that. I don't want that. So all you have to do to prevent that is to rate us 5 stars and share us with your friends, families, and enemies. If you really enjoy Adrian and I and like our banter, please feel free to join our Discord or, dare I say it, help us fund this beautiful hobby of ours on patreon.com/dungeonsanddegrees. Our benefits do include ad-free episodes. You also just get the sense and the moral upbringing that you are doing something good and putting good out in the world, which obviously comes back tenfold. So what is there more to do than to support us on Patreon? You will join our friends like Skylar, Megan, Alex, Wani, Lucy, Adrian's dad. Like you're not even, you could be on the same level as Adrian's dad.
Man, I want to be like Adrian's dad.
Right? Paige, and then my best friend in the whole entire universe, Noah.
Well, thank y'all for listening. My name's Adrian.
And I'm Alex.
And I'm Glyza.
Go have some fun.
Yes. Yay! I did it!
Yes!